GNC 583. It's Thursday, June 10th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a part of the Tech Podcast Network. Haven't I got a great show for you in an absolutely hot and blistering Texas day? Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the state of Texas via the Geek News Central portable studio, powered by and delivered by Clear, Verizon, and Sprint. Yeah, we're up on all three for as a connection goes, because the hotel bandwidth sucks. So I'm actually streaming the show tonight on Verizon. Clear has actually got my back as far as the main machine for the show notes, and really I've been using Sprint kind of as a backup. So it's been bandwidth here, believe it or not, of my own that I pay for. So, but the hotel bandwidth is, oh boy, two thumbs down. It doesn't get any better in hotels, that's for sure. I just think, you know, there's just a lot of people in the hotel, and I'm sure people are using the bandwidth for, you know, business and so forth, and that's just the way it goes. But hey, I tell you what, welcome to the Ohana. Give everyone, of course, a big warm thank you for staying subscribed and being part of the family here. It is, it's blistering hot. I spent a great portion of today outside after it rained like cats and dogs yesterday. And be honest with you, I drank six bottles, I guess about 30, well, actually 6 pints of water, you know, standard water bottle today outside. And I got back to the room and I'm just crushed. I really, really am. I'm just like someone stick a fork. I'm like a prune. I've been just wrung out. I literally came in the room, locked the door, and shed, you know, probably 2 pounds of sweat in my, it was horrible. It really was. But I had a great time today, and it's just one of those things. I'm glad I had my my sunblock on, because even though it was cloudy, it definitely would have fried me if I had not. There was a few other people in my group that got sunburnt today with no sun. You know how that works. But yeah, we'll see if how I'm doing here in a couple of hours, because I'm sure I'm going to just collapse. I'm drinking as much water as I can, because it's just some of these days where if I don't, I'll wake up in the middle of the night with Charlie horses. It's just ridiculously how high the humidity was. But tomorrow's my last day in the state of Texas, and I think I'm going to be gone for a while. So I think this is the last trip for 2 or 3 months at least, and from that point, I'm headed out to Saturday morning. I get on an airplane and fly out to Rochester, New York. I get in Saturday evening to Rochester, New York, so looking forward to going out there and spending next week. I've got a meeting with a media buyer early next week, and then along with some other business as well, so I'm pretty excited about my trip to Rochester and checking out the area, and maybe even Buffalo as well, which is within striking distance. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to listeners from 165 countries worldwide that download and tune into the show, either via Zoom, either iTunes, or their favorite RSS podcatcher. Thanks for being subscribed and being part of the Ohana here. And if you're new to the show, I want to encourage you, of course, to sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to cover tonight, including links that have been submitted by audience members like you. You can submit content to the show by just emailing me at geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365, which did get some action the last couple of days, so I'll have some audio comments to play at the end of the show. But the more important thing, of course, is subscribe to the podcast. That way you won't miss an episode ever. And consume it on your time, on your schedule. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to watch live. You can subscribe and consume the content during during times that you're able to do so on your on just basically on your schedule, for a better word. Of course, we want to encourage you to watch us on Tech Podcast channel over at techpodcast.tv. Also, we're on the Roku. We're on Boxy. So if you are watching the show on either of those two, either the device or the software application through your Apple TV, I want to thank you. And, hey, send us an email. I know we're getting huge, absolutely skyrocketing video numbers. I am just day by day completely blown away by the amount of new audience members that are watching the show either on Roku or on Boxy, because I just see the numbers going, they're going straight up, and it's good. It really is, and I'm really pleased. So I'd love to hear from the Roku audience, and let us know what you think about us watching on the big set. And you can, email me at geeknews@gmail.com, highlight it Roku comment, and love to cover you here in the show. Okay, we, of course, got a contest going on, the live.geeknewscentral.com design and implementation. We're going to be giving out $250 for a cool design for the live.geeknewscentral.com website that's going to replace geeknewscentral.com/live. So make sure that you get involved in that design contest, and that's going to be going on for a couple weeks here. And, of course, GoToMeeting, we're going to be giving a three-month credit very close to the end of the month for someone that has never used GoToMeeting before and is trying it for the first time. We'll talk about how you can try GoToMeeting for free as well. Also, my little initiative about if you have an idea, if you have a domain name, send me your idea and domain if you're looking for a little help in getting started. And I'm going to have some monetary donations, not necessarily donations, but startup money for folks that have ideas and domains that are part of the Ohana here. And it has to be a good one, and not all. I've gotten a couple of ideas already. Come on, folks, take some time and really think about something. Just, don't throw something out there and do some research beforehand, because I am going to respond and definitely be a little bit critical on, what I think may or may not work, and give you some points to think about. If you can overcome my objections, then your idea and domain may turn into some cash. Hey, I want to take just a minute and talk a little bit more on a serious subject. Had the television on here in the hotel tonight while I was getting ready for the show. Had Fox or CNN or somebody turned on. And the widows of the survivors of the widows of the folks that died on the BP drilling rig, or whatever company was actually on the rig, but the widows of those men met with the president today. And what I found very startling was a comment made by one of the widows to a reporter when she was asked if BP had contacted them in any way of, expressing condolences. And at least this one widow had made the comment that there had been no contact. I stopped what I was doing. I looked at the TV. My jaw literally dropped open. And I just was appalled. I couldn't believe it. It's bad enough what's going on in the Gulf, and we all think it's a horrible situation. It's the price we pay, I guess, for loving our automobiles so much. But when I heard that this widow had not so much been contacted by the company at all, expressing condolences to the loss of her husband, it really made me think back to when my father was killed. And of course, those of you that have been listening to this show for a while, no one, basically the day of show number 200, my father was killed in an automobile accident where he actually was in a vehicle that got hit by a train. Now, the circumstances around that are, it is what it is. It was one of those unmarked crossings where there was no drop-down levers or anything. And so whatever it was, whoever's fault it was because of either it just doesn't matter. The main thing was, a few days after the funeral, the railroad company actually showed up. And this guy had come in from a couple of states away. He was very cordial. He offered his condolences on behalf of the railroad. was finding out how we were doing. Was there anything that could be done? He had come. And now, obviously, I am sure the railroad was worried about some sort of a lawsuit. But it doesn't matter. They showed up at our house and offered condolences on behalf of the railroad. That, to me, took a lot of guts, you know, for them to come. And, you know, there was a lot of anger, of course, at that time upon what had happened. But I was, at least I was, I respected their choice to come and give their condolences. They didn't have to do that. They did. Now, why in the heck would a company like BP, who has already got this huge bad press thing going on, millions of people being affected, companies, businesses, you know, being put out, why would they have not and went and seen the widows and offered their condolences? It's unconscionable to me. It's just absolutely unbelievable. They don't have to admit no guilt. They don't have, all they have to come and say is, we want, you know, we're sorry about the loss of your loved one. You know, is there anything we can do? You know, that is what a good company is supposed to do. Shocking to me. Shocking to me. Now, I don't know if that's the case for all of the widows, but BP just went down like 100 notches to me, even lower than what's already happened. Now, it is what it is. They're going to, hopefully they'll get this thing fixed at some point, and, you know, it's going to be one horrible long-term cleanup mess. But to not have went and seen the widows is just shocking to me. But anyway, I wanted to share that with you as just a comment of what totally blew me away today when I saw that. So, anyway, it is what it is, but just completely unbelievable. Okay, what else is going on? We're pretty excited. We've just introduced a new advertiser at Raw Voice. We've brought on Matrix Direct. I'll be talking about Matrix Direct on another show a little later on. You'll start seeing banners and stuff come up on our podcast or site. Of course, Matrix Design is an insurance firm, and we're pretty excited to have them on as a sponsor at Raw Voice. So we're, you know, just launching that today. So we're real excited about that. And of course, the Blueberry relaunch has went really, really well. We had great response from the content creators. Almost immediately has resulted in some new clients coming on board. And I can't go into it in detail, but we're in the process of right now of signing some very good deals with some new clients that I'm really excited about. So, you know, guys are continuing to do the things they need to do, and we're doing stuff as a company, and I'm really proud of my team at Raw Voice. And I guess I'll share with you as soon as I can what's happening, but lots of stuff on the move, and we're pretty happy about. A lot of this hard work is paying off. Hey, as far as the show goes, geeknewscentral.com/offers. Check that out. And, of course, if you want to be an insider, we're always looking to add to the insider role. You can do that by going over to geeknewscentral.com and be an insider. Start at $2 a month. Help out the show. Help me get on a salary replacement plan. And that basically so we can bring on some help to the show so that we can add some more content and maybe more channels of content as well. So check that out at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Of course, if you're looking for Ohana gear, check out cafepress.com/Ohana store. That's where all of our official Geek News Central wear is being run by Sam, our Ohana out of Albuquerque. So cafepress.com/Ohana store. Have you picked something out from the Ohana store? Have you bought something yet? And I actually have some orders to put in for some Ohana as well. I got to get those in. There's some stuff some folks had wanted that we owed some prizes to. Twitter, if you're using Twitter, use #Ohana or #GNC to search for that from time to time to talk with the Ohana or send messages in about the show. And, of course, we hope that you favorite the site over at Facebook. If you're on Wi-Fi, change your Wi-Fi to geeknewscentral.com. That'll get your neighbors up to speed on the show as well. Hey, let me take care of a little business here as far as paying some bills. We'll get on with the regular content. And let me look at the actual clock and see where we're at with time here. We're doing good. Hey, obviously, GoToMeeting. You know, if you have important business contacts, LA, New York, or even abroad, you know, you'd like to meet with them more often, but traveling is, you know, crazy expensive and time-consuming. Matter of fact, airfare's on its way up. I'm seeing that right now. So that's why you want to start using GoToMeeting to hold your meetings online. GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, is the easiest online meeting service available. Simply set up your meetings in advance or start one on the fly. You know, really, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting, and now they can see your computer desktop on their computer screen. So really, it's just like meeting in person. And with GoToMeeting, you can host unlimited meetings for one flat rate. I've used GoToMeeting for years. It's great. I love it. I use it. I endorse it. My listeners can try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited meetings free for this special offer. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Hey, got a couple emails and some folks that saved some money with my promo codes. And as a reminder, the clock is ticking, folks. You have about 20 days. Renew all of your .coms for the rest of the year. This month, save some money. Use my promo code COMSALE when you get to the checkout counter. .com prices go up July 1st. Don't forget. Of course, if you're looking for a shared hosting account, virtual dedicated server, a dedicated box, or if you're just looking for, you know, some domain names, when you get to GoDaddy.com and you get to that checkout counter, just load an extra tab in your browser, come back to GeekNewsCentral.com, look at the GoDaddy link and look at all the codes and find one there that'll save you the most amount of money. Share this with your friends, family members, link to us on your blog, post our codes when you can, Twitter them, and we'd be most appreciative. Todd will save you 10%. ComSale will get you coms and renewals at $7.49. Geek5 will save you 15% off on orders $20 or more. Aloha will save you $20 on orders $75 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show, and definitely one of our longtime sponsors here. And thanks again, GoDaddy, and of course, GoToMeeting. Hey, let's get right into the tech news here. Ars Technica has an article about a iPad that has been turned into a very expensive secondary screen. It's a company called Air Display, has a new application from Avatron Software. So Air Display is a new application from Avatron Software that makes it possible to use your iPad as a secondary display for a Mac running OS 10.6.3 or later. The company is using what they call a clever dynamic compression algorithm, and the app is able to deliver acceptable performance as a secondary display for many applications. So check it out and let me know what you think. Honestly, just buy another monitor. You know, a $600 iPad for a secondary display, you know, monitors are cheap. And I don't know if I'd want to use my iPad to, you know, burn up the screen doing that at all. But, you know, each to his own. Well, AT&T, boy, they really blew it here. And matter of fact, one of our board members at Raw Voice was affected by this 3G data breach that happened a couple of days ago, or actually yesterday. The FBI is looking into this, but apparently what happened was there was a server AT&T had where all the emails, 114,000, not all of them, but 114,000 emails were essentially made available to a hacker. And it was all through, you know, just basically a hack. Some folks at the White House, some Pentagon folks, governors, a whole list, and a whole litany of people. And the FBI, of course, is looking into it. I'm sure that, you know, having made access to federal officials probably has driven the FBI a little faster to respond than normal. AT&T apologizes, said they plugged the hole. But yet, if you got a hold of the list, you would have a direct email to many of the very top CEOs in the country. I don't have a 3G iPad, so I don't have to worry about that. I'm not one of the top 500 CEOs by far either. So, but 114,000 email addresses were made available via this hack. Do not want to be the individual that would have done that, because the FBI is probably going to come knocking here. Yeah, the WWDC, of course, this dominated the news all week. Apple had said, hey, you know, we the fastest browser in the West. And some folks said, I don't know about that. So they went out and did some benchmarking. And what they found was that Safari which benchmarked at 276, Chrome at 289, Firefox at 776, and Opera at 10.53, did pretty well on the benchmark. But if you look at some other benchmarks out there, Safari wasn't so as well on a V8 benchmark. They were second in the list, and then on a third and fourth benchmark, they were pretty. They didn't hardly place at all. But it was pretty much proven here that the claim they made during WWDC turns out not to be the case that Safari was faster. You know, you look at the HTML5 benchmark on Windows 7, and the higher number is better. Safari had a 3, Chrome had a 3, Internet Explorer had a 5, IE9 had a 9, excuse me, a 64, Firefox had a 12, and Opera had a 28. Backing up a little bit here, they don't really break out exactly what they test in each test, but it definitely is Apple's claims here that Safari was the fastest JavaScript engine does not pan out. But anyway, we'll let them up to, you know, that's always a bone of contention when someone says, I have the fastest. You know, why don't you just say, it's much easier just to say, hey, we've improved performance of it, and we think it does pretty well amongst major browsers. That's the thing to say. And then let people go figure it out themselves instead of saying, I have the fastest, and then being proven it. No, sorry, Mr. Jobs, you don't have the fastest. There's an interesting movement by AM radio right now. And how many of you listen to AM radio? So you listen to talk radio. I know there's a lot of Latino stations on AM, a lot of Christian stations as well. But the FCC has rejected a proposal by AM stations across the United States to increase their wattage over tenfold in order to compete better. They want to, the AM folks are saying that because of all the other devices out there that's starting to interfere with the AM service, it's starting to degrade signals. People can't hear the stations as far away as they used to. So in response to that, they said, hey, let us crank the power up. Now, the FCC has basically said, hey, if we let you increase, then you guys are going to be overriding your neighbors. In Hawaii, we don't have that problem. They can crank the babies up as much as they want, and they're not going to affect a competing station because there's nothing close. So, but there are 4,700, actually almost 5,000 stations, AM stations in the United States, and they're really wanting to increase their power levels, and the FCC saying, no, it's not going to happen. So that's an interesting response by the FCC, and the AM stations are still saying that they're in critical need of attention or their business viability may go away. Well, I don't know about that. There is an interesting article over on the BBC talking about digital exams. Now, you guys know that when I take classes at Emory-Riddle, and that's the aeronautics college that I have attended, that I did all of my undergraduate stuff online. I didn't have to go to a class. I did everything online. I took all my tests online. And so, you know, it's my daughter in Florida, she's doing stuff online, taking tests online. And really, online classes are much, much harder because they hold you to a much higher standard for, you know, information. The test times are pretty short so that, you know, you basically can't sit there with a book and look things up. You really have to know. But they've introduced some new technology where students now are going to be able to take digital exams pretty much anywhere. Now, what I find interesting here is they say, this new technology boasting anti-cheating software could soon make it a possibility for students to take tests anyplace. The technology takes a fingerprint of the student to verify they are who they say they are before access to the exam is allowed. A webcam and microphone are also switched on to detect changes in motion, such as someone entering the room, or sound, such as a phone conversation. And the device also locks down so that students cannot search the internet for answers or access their own files or notes. What if they have another computer? The University of Wales Institute in Cardiff is one of the institutions evaluating the software to see if it would be viable for some of their students. So this is kind of interesting. They've been doing online stuff forever. And really, no professors, what they do is the online tests are harder because they know the students are going to have the books right there. They make it almost impossible to find the answers. And I don't think the tests are as hard in classrooms just because, you know, they know no one's going to be opening a book there. So I don't know. What do you guys think about these digital exams? I thought that was pretty common in upper education, but obviously not in K through 12. And this is obviously a university. So, you know, this is nothing new in the United States. We've been doing online stuff for a long time. So is that something that's out of the ordinary in the United Kingdom? So I'd love to hear some of our UK folks give us some feedback. Hey, over South Korea, they can't win anything at this point. South Korea rocket explodes. This is the second time they have attempted to launch a research satellite into space using a domestically developed rocket, and blew up. And they are not real happy. It exploded 137 seconds after takeoff. And they were hoping that this launch would have been able to bring some economic to Korea and competing for some of the, the multi-billion dollar, essentially the multi-billion dollar space lift industry. They had some Russian help, which is kind of curious because the Russians have been real good at, putting rockets in space. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens with here with this with Korea, but South Korea they definitely back to the drawing board for them and on the space front. If you're a Second Life fan, if you're still going, I still have property in Second Life. I haven't been there in 6 months. I still pay $15 a month for my membership. Actually, my wife asked me the other day, she said, what is this $15 charge on our credit card? So this is, you know, and I'm like, it's my Second Life membership. She's like, would you go on there? I'm like, no. She said, cancel it. Linden Labs have laid off 30% of its employees. The company is combining its engineering and product division to a single unit, among a few other structural modifications. And so they've obviously hurting for some money here. And this is part of their reorganization. And up to this point, I thought they had been doing very well. And but I guess it has, you know, never become such a... Get Linden Labs on the iPad. Burn some bandwidth that way. But originally, they had about 350 employees, and approximately 100 had been added in the last year. So this is interesting that they've laid off the number of folks that they have. So it's not a huge layoff, but one enough to make you go, hmm. But it does still have open positions on its jobs board, which is kind of curious as well. He's still running Windows XP. Come on, upgrade. It's time. Windows 7 is a great operating system. Make the jump. Get off XP now because there are some new flaws out there. A critical security advisory has been issued and essentially is if you click on a link on a website that's got HCP:// you're going to get owned. It's just... something is going on out there right now. It's a XSS vulnerability. So be careful what you're clicking on, XP users. Better yet, go out there and upgrade your machine to Windows 7. Or machines are cheap right now. If you bought an XP machine, you can buy a machine that's probably 10 times better than your XP machine. It's probably one half to 75% less than what you paid for that computer. Retire that thing and move on up to Windows 7. Rumor on PC World, T-Mobile may get the iPhone before Verizon. And here's an itch. You guys are going to laugh at me, okay? My wife calls me in a panic. She says, let me give you a little background. And this ties into T-Mobile. My wife calls me in panic, and she says, Todd, She said, I looked at Anna's phone today, and she had 700 texts. I said, 700? Since when? She said, 700 since the new billing period. And I said, I told her she only had 300 texts. And she goes, she used 700. You got to call T-Mobile. So I'm like, oh my God, here I am. The guy that's always, you know, telling parents, make sure you don't get caught in, you know, this issue with texting. We'd had a discussion at the house. A very, very strong worded discussion with the kids. They both knew what the limits were. They knew, you know, but all of a sudden we're at 700 texts, right? So I call T-Mobile, and there's two phones on T-Mobile. My wife's jailbroke iPhone, and my daughter has some other phone. And I told the guy, I said, well, I said, I need you to look at the text. And I see, tell me how much the damages are. And he said, oh, yeah, you're over. And he said, what do you want me to do? I said, well, just, you know, upgrade me to unlimited text on both. I should have done it already anyway. I was just stupid. Go ahead and upgrade me to unlimited text on both the phones. And he said, oh, great. He says, I said, so what's my new bill going to be? He says, oh, your bill's only going to go up $5. And I was like, huh? So I said, so tell me, you know, I was paying this much for 300 and $5 more gets me unlimited? Oh, yeah, don't worry. It's for two phones. You're on a family plan, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, by the way, he says, you know, congratulations for running T-Mobile on the iPhone. He says, matter of fact, you qualify for a month of free internet service by being a T-Mobile customer. So all of you out there, listen. If you're a T-Mobile customer and you don't have their internet service turned on with the phone, the phone you have, dial 611 on your T-Mobile phone. Ask the customer service rep, hey, can I get a free month? I heard you guys are giving free months away. But he actually gave me a free month, even though I was already paying for internet service. It's Edge, obviously. It's not super fast. But they may give you a free month. And so I was teasing the guy. I said, so when are you guys going to get T-Mobile? He says, well. He says, you know, there's nothing official. Nothing's been said. And, you know, we don't know anything. And so I was asking about 4G in Hawaii. And, of course, that isn't going to happen until probably, you know, who knows? It'll probably snow snow in Oahu. Let me use that as a better definition because it does snow in some places in Hawaii. I said it'll probably snow in, you know, I'm thinking to myself, snow in Oahu before we get 4G. But this PC Magazine article says T-Mobile might get iPhone before Verizon. Huh. Apparently, an analyst with Kaufman Brothers, whoever they are, put out a report Thursday that said his discussions with industry and supply chain sources indicate that a non-AT&T phone is becoming closer to reality and could happen as early as this fall or by the first half of 2011. He thinks that this, through whatever research and information he was able to obtain, that T-Mobile would be the next carrier. T-Mobile has great plans. I'll be honest with you. The only reason I'm on AT&T with my iPhone is because I have to be. Obviously, my wife has got on a 3G phone. So I thought this was kind of an interesting article. Now, T-Mobile's always, if some of you poo-poo T-Mobile, they got the best rate plans of anybody. They really do. Their family plans are unbelievable price-wise. And I've never had problem. We've never had problem with getting service, no matter where we're at with them. And but anyway, I thought you guys would get a kick out of me getting, you know, thank God it wasn't 6,000 text messages. But there will be a discussion in the Cochran household when I get home about how a young lady knew her limit was 300 and busted the limit that Dad had put in. And the thing is, I told them, if you start texting a lot, tell me, and I'll just up it. I was just being a cheapskate, not wanting to pay the extra money when they weren't yet texting too much. But she's almost 14, so, you know, I guess it's to be expected. So next thing I'm going to be asking is, 600? Why that many? Who are you texting 600 text messages? It's incoming and outgoing. So I'll do a look at that ratio, and we'll have a little bit of a discussion about, you know, proper texting. And I guess probably it won't help. It's just the way kids are these days. So Enough on that. Hey, there's a report over on Apple Insider talking about a shattered iPhone 4, which has been photographed to challenge Apple's durability claims. A third-party solution provider catering to customers of Apple's mobile devices claimed to have recently acquired an authentic iPhone 4 enclosure whose glass panel failed to withstand a fall from just a few feet. Now, here's the question. Here's the concern. As you guys know, on the current iPhones, the glass is, you know, if you feel the ridge, the glass is just a little bit under the case. It's you know, it's not very much. But the new iPhone 4, the glass sets above the actual case. I could see where this is going to be big, big trouble. But if this picture is valid, Apple may have a big challenge on their hands with these new phones being dropped. Buy a case for it. That's probably going to be your best bet. All right, here's something that I want you to think about a little bit. And this is really hit home by the folks over at PC World. Here's the headline. $1 billion fine for LimeWire. $75 million for $75 million for British Petroleum's oil spill. $1 billion fine for LimeWire. And a $75 million fine for BP. I don't think I have to really say anything more, do I? Wow. Interesting. What's wrong with this picture? That's something that sets you back. You know, they're going to pay more, but that's all they're technically liable for by law. Adobe goes to Flash 10.1 for Go security fix for version 10, so just go ahead and upgrade. The critical day fix that we talked about on the critical zero-day security flaw that we talked about on the last show in Flash 10 was basically they fast-tracked a release to 10.1 today. So you're going to have update with the security fix. Adobe 10.1 boasts a much-anticipated H.264 hardware acceleration, and except for those of you on Linux and Mac operating systems. Those of you on Windows will get it, but the hardware acceleration is not supported under Linux, and it currently lacks a developed standard API that supports H.264 hardware video encoding, but those of you on Windows will get the benefit of this, so make sure you update to version 10.1 today to bypass that security issue that's out there. Hey, the Japanese, congratulations. Their space agency has successfully unfurled a solar sail in space for the first time. As you guys know, solar sails offer the best hope for deep space exploration. They eliminate the need to carry fuel, and the Japanese spacecraft Icaros created a centripetal force by spinning, and it allowed it to launch the 0.0003-inch thick sail. And it says, while deployment is a challenge in zero-gravity environment, they've successfully deployed this. So we'll see what happens here. I don't know where they're going to send this. Hopefully they send it outbound and see how fast it can go. More on that later as the information comes out on it. Hey, you know, we talked about in the last show about Department of Homeland Security saying that they can basically tape laptops and keep them for as long as they want. But CNN's reporting, a federal judge has rebuked DHS and saying that DHS cannot hold computers for indefinite searching. And so this is interesting. I haven't read the ruling yet, but apparently they can still take your laptop, but they can't hold it indefinitely like they've done to some folks that they've seized laptops from. So as we get more information on that, we'll talk about this. All right, this next article, quite frankly, irritates me just a little bit. No, not a little, a lot. Now, here's the headline. It's from TechDirt. Top public school signs multi-million dollar deal to copyright and sell its curriculum. A public school paid by your tax dollars for teachers to teach our kids to, you know, their top school in the country, they have sold their curriculum for in a multi-million dollar deal. Montgomery Public Schools have earned $2.25 million for the curriculum, which it will sell. The school also get a 3% royalty. They're saying the school can change the curriculum if it wants, so it might not even be what the teachers put out. But does this irritate you a little bit? First of all, why did they sell it? How come they shouldn't make it in the public domain? You and I paid, you know, if you live in that school district, you paid for it. Now, teachers are not going to be able to share the curriculum as well. They're not going to be able to take their curriculum and give it to another teacher because it's copyrighted. So whatever they create in their school for lesson plans is now copyrighted. How insane, how absolutely insane is this? I bet that if my Department of Education in Hawaii could get their act together, that it would make sense for them to get this curriculum from this school. If they're a top school in the country, they're doing something right. Share with the rest of the country. Help get the rest of the schools up to speed. But no. They've signed this multi-million dollar deal. What is that? What is that? There has got to be some legal ramification for this. This is not a private school. This is a public school. Are you uncomfortable with this? Are you as shocked as I am? GeekNews@gmail.com. GeekNews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. I want to hear your outrage if you're outraged. I want to hear you defend these. Are you a teacher? Tell me what you think about this. I don't get it. Teachers pass down curriculum to other teachers to help them learn and use the knowledge that they've gathered over years. And then the new teacher takes it and updates it and molds it to their own thing, right? When I was teaching classes in the Navy, when I checked into the place where I was going to be teaching, the person I was relieving and the class curriculum that I was going to be teaching was handed down to me. I went through all of that curriculum and updated it. It took me several months to get it all current, get it up to date, all the new technology, blah, 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 blah. Had it all in a piece, taught it to the students, had hundreds of students go through the schoolhouse. Now, it's a little different teaching in the Navy. You know, if the guys go to sleep in their seats, I can throw an eraser at them. You know, it's the Navy, right? Make them get up and do push-ups or something. But when I left that command, I took the curriculum that I had and I handed it off to the person that was replacing me, and he went through and updated it and got it in or whatever I had and updated. It wasn't copyrighted. I can't imagine having come into a classroom cold and had to start building a curriculum from scratch. It'd have been tough. It really would have. Now, a little more on the copyright scene. A judge in the U.S. Copyright Group case seems skeptical of lumping lawsuits into one. Following the filing from the EFF, Public Citizen, and ACL questioning U.S. Copyrights Group. Remember, U.S. Copyright Group is a company called a law firm called Dunlap Group and Weaver. So don't think this is a government thing. U.S. Copyright Groups, who is again is really a law firm, Dunlap Grubb and Weaver. They've, of course, the EFF, Public Citizen, and ACLU questioning these bulk lawsuits. The judge in this is skeptical of their strategy. She's demanding that this group or this law firm explain in writing why she shouldn't throw out all but one of the Joe defendants for misjoinder. Now, misjoinder is basically, you know, they're supposed to separate from. They're only supposed to submit one at a time. Now, considering that this group has been making the argument that ISPs who don't hand over the names of the accused are guilty of inducing infringement, so this is going to be amazing to see what they respond to this. But this is beautiful that this judge has basically stood up to this group and said, "Hey, I don't think this is right. You know, you want to file 2,000 lawsuits, you file them one at a time, not as a bulk. So we'll see where this goes. No telling how she'll rule on it. Now, we're on a while on the roll of copyright. We have good friends up north here in Canada. Your most favorite organization, the IFPI, is complaining that your new copyright bill is not draconian enough. The IFPI is complaining that Canada's new copyright bill does not go far enough in protecting its obsolete business model. In quote here, the publishing of this bill is only the beginning of a process, and some of its provisions must be amended in order to bring Canada in line with its international treaty obligations as well as evolving international norms. As it is, it simply does not go far enough to protect creators and producers in the digital environment. Now, we all know that Canada already has some very draconian copyright issues, and they got the blank media tax. You know, I guess they consider all you guys criminals up there if you buy a CD to copy something onto. So, you know, you definitely pay a tax just to buy the media. But these organizations, it's got to stop. Now, I'm going to have to laugh on this one. Anyone that is in their right mind is not a fan of the Taliban. But the Taliban webmaster has announced on his website, according to Wired magazine, that says that the website's been hacked. And he warns that the group's main site has been infiltrated. This is where hackers should spend their time, infiltrating and taking down these kinds of sites. Warns they have been infiltrated. You know, leave it to a Marine. Marines are like, you know, knock doors down, secure bridges, protect bases. You know, Marines, God bless the Marines. Because when there needs to be a tough job done, you call the Marines. So anyway, one of the most famous technologists in the Marine Corps has a solution for the Gulf oil spill. He says, in Marine style, blow the crap out of it with the mother of all bombs. In other words, bring in the Moab. He says, encase the Moab in a pressurized vessel, fill it with the, you know, he talks about all this stuff that make this thing really go boom, and then hover it over the oil spill and touch her off. He said, use a 21,000-pound mega munition to generate a king-size shockwave that could force those leaking pipes on the seabed shut. In other words, smash them. Because Moab doesn't necessarily have a lot of destructive force. It just has a lot of overpressure. And he says, either one, and he was talking about a different, he's talked about daisy cutters that was used in the Vietnam era. He says, either one can be enclosed in a simple pressure shell that is augmented with several tons of liquid oxygen canisters and lowered to just a few meters above the leaking wellhead. An oxygen-enhanced MOAB or daisy cutter detonated at a water depth of 5,000 feet will indeed have an interesting effect on all well-related plumbing and equipment that is above it and slightly below the seafloor. The exploding MOAB or daisy cutter would have an incredible implosive sealing effect on oil plumbing within the immediate vicinity of the detonation. Leave it to the Marines. I'm telling you, if you the Marines, it's all about maximum impact. Oh, I love it. I really, really do. All right, Japanese asteroid probe returning to Earth. A Japanese spacecraft that obviously had some technical difficulties after it approached an asteroid is now returning. It's on its final approach and will enter in the over Australia. Okay. Does that mean it's going to land in Australia? It was designed to land in the Woomera Range in Australia. So those of you in Australia, keep your eyes out on June 13th. You might have a little bit of a light show. I have no idea where Woomera is. It must be out in the middle of nowhere. But they're going to drop this thing in and hopefully be able to get some of the samples out of the thing that it collected in the in its asteroid mission. Hey, Google had a short-lived thing today. They had background images. They kind of allowed you to have your site, their site look like Bing. But just after a few hours, they've taken them down You still can add a custom background if you really want to. There is a little bit of a link still available, but they disabled most of the main features of it. If you're using Safari, hey, I've got 25 Safari extensions you can install now. And you know, this is some new stuff for those of you using Safari. I didn't know that there was a lot of extensions for it, so I have those linked up in the show notes. Hey, if you are, you guys notice Scoble's new logo? Looks kind of familiar, but backwards. Hey, Scoble, where'd you get the idea for the? Well, I know where I got my idea for my logo. Don't worry. Copying other people's great ideas is a great way to design a logo. Anyway, Scoble has an article up about the Twitter death sentence. And don't ever mention on Twitter that you're thinking about selling your Twitter account. You'll get shut down. And it talks about a story of a buddy of his that just about got shut down for that very reason. Those of you that like to watch Dignation, Kevin Rose is going to be leaving Dignation at the end of the year. Of course, Dignation is one of the popular shows over at Revision 3. And Revision 3 is going to keep Kevin through, 2011. But, you know, as of right now, he's gone at the end of 2010. So we'll see what happens with this. But it may have to do with Kevin running, being the CEO of Twitter, and, or excuse me, being the CEO of Dig. And he may be too busy. But this is according to the folks over at TechCrunch. Okay, got a number of, wow, we're doing good on time. So, all right. Oh, okay. Did you guys lose the feed? Or am I up? Oh, that's weird. Am I online? Oh, that sucks. Am I up? Yeah, I may have went offline here. Maybe don't think that's not good. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the audio content, irregardless. And as always, you can leave comments on the show at geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Let's go ahead and play the first voicemail here. And here we go.
Hi, Todd. Joey in Atlanta. Just calling. You sounded a little disappointed on the last show that not too many people commented on your AT&T rant. I have to say, I absolutely agree with you. It got so bad with AT&T not being able to even make a phone call that we went ahead and paid to cancel our contracts and, in turn, got rid of our iPhones. Ended up on Verizon, have the HTC Incredible. With Android, and I'm loving it. It's doing everything that I wanted my iPhone to do, including being able to download podcasts directly and update automatically on my phone without having to sync to iTunes, so I don't have to worry about getting on the computer to get your next show. The app I use is called BeyondPod, so your listeners may be interested in that if they haven't found it yet. Looking forward to the next show. Thanks for all you do. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the call and thanks for the feedback. I definitely appreciate it. I know that it's a lot of people are not happy with what's been happening with the folks over there at Apple and AT&T, excuse me. I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens here with them. But they haven't gotten a lot of positive press out of this deal, and it's only only time will tell on how that all works out. So, anyway, thanks for the comments. I'm glad you're liking your new phone, and keep me advised on how that goes as well. All right, here comes the next voicemail message.
Hey, Todd, this is Scott from Texas, long-time listener, second-time caller. I just had a little, I just wanted to vent a little. I was working on a computer the other day, and it was a friend's computer, and I was just cleaning up, doing some, some upgrades and whatnot. And I just come up with a little story I want to share with you. He had Internet Explorer as the default browser, and Bing as the default search engine. And let me go ahead and say that I love Google Chrome. I know you're already using it, but for the listeners who haven't tried Google Chrome yet, give it a shot. It is awesome. So anyway, I go to Internet Explorer, to Bing, and my search query was download Google Chrome. And, you know, of course, I never used Bing, and I'll never use Bing again. Would you believe that on the first page of results, there was not a link to download Google Chrome? I believe this goes against, you know, web neutrality. I didn't ask for, you know, a web browser. I asked for a very specific thing, and I think that any decent search engine should have gotten me there. Thanks for listening. That's just my opinion on Bing. Thanks for the show, Todd. Have a good one.
Wow. Yeah, that would kind of make you go, wouldn't it? You know, you would expect that to come right up in the first set of search results. But obviously, it did not. But it would definitely discourage anyone from using that search engine, for sure. Hey, thanks for the feedback, and thanks for calling. I definitely appreciate your comments as well. Hey, let me go ahead and play the last voicemail here, and then we'll get into the email comments.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. I'm listening to your latest podcast, and you're talking about HP announcing that people will be able to, with their future printers, give the printer an email address, and you're talking about how great it would be to email documents and what have you to the printer. Now, the problem that just kind of popped into my head immediately when you started talking about that, what about spam? What about spam? Because, you know, how hard would it be to figure out what the printer's email address was, you know, and people start spamming the, you know, email addresses do get spammed. And, you know, of course, there are ways of trying to mitigate the spam, but I could see that happening. You know, it's kind of like the way there's fax spam. Fax spam, I guess, probably still occurs where, you know, people collect a large number of fax numbers, and then they fax their flyers, you know, and they make the people pay for the paper. So that's one problem that I see with the idea of having a printer with an email address. Quickly on another front, ordered an HTC Evo, have yet to receive it from Sprint. Looking forward to it. I've read through the PDF user's manual. Very cool device. Can't wait to get my hands on it. Keep up the great work, and we'll catch you later.
Hey, Tom, I could definitely tell that you are multitasking there. You're shifting up through gears and calling the show at the same time. That, my friend, is good multitasking. You didn't even miss a beat. I've been missing a few beats on the show tonight trying to multitask, and you did that well. Everyone's excited about this HTC Evo. It's, you know, it's just everyone's on a roll on that device. So very, very cool. But as far as the HP printer stuff goes, you know, it'll be curious to see how they mitigate that. Because, you know, even on my voicemail hotline, that will take a fax. I still get, on a weekly basis, 4 or 5 junk faxes that are sent in digitally. And they are the most ridiculous things in the whole world. That, you know, you no one would ever respond to this stuff. But yeah, I don't, you know, you definitely could end up on a spammer email list spamming stuff to your printer. So they're going to have to come up with a way to mitigate that, and hopefully some sort of a password. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see how it's implemented. But I still think it's pretty cool. It's not something, that's not an email address I would share. But if someone got a hold of it, you would hope that there'd be, you'd have the ability to at least be able to change the email address if you needed to. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens on that. Thanks for the call from everyone tonight. What was going on during voicemails is I was getting the Ustream stream back online. my hotel connection must have gave up the ghost, but I was multitasking getting it up. I don't know if I missed some audio overlay because I have to switch a switch here on this system in order to get all audios to all tracks. So I may have been moving my lips, and people may not have been able to hear me for a minute or so. Or maybe there's a blank spot on the Adobe Audition recording. Who knows? But thanks for the call-ins, everyone. And it is greatly appreciated. It's nice to hear some listener feedback as well. If you have feedback on the show, 619-342-7365. That's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week phone-in call-in line where you can leave your comments about the show. I encourage you to use that. Let me go ahead and load the email comments up here real quick. And I got an email, number of emails from Trucker Tom as well, as along with the voicemail he just sent in. He sent me a link to the mini flying robot drones that was being demoed. And so this is pretty cool. You know, I've seen these type of devices fly at CES, but this is pretty cool because they are doing a little bit different technology. It's a 4-drone takeoff under their own power and exchange information using infrared. It is pretty slick. And I think once you guys see the video on this, you're going to be like, whoa, it's good stuff. So thanks for that one. Good find, Tom. This is definitely a little different twist than what I initially saw. Of course, he did send me a link as well to the AT&T security breach. I covered that already early in the show. Thanks for that. Got an email here from Chris. Chris, are you like ex-Air Force or something? You know, you could have sent me a image of at least a F-A-18 that would have been patrolling the skies during the Atlantis launch. But, you know, you had to send me over, you know, a picture with the F-15 or was it F-16? I don't know. I don't pay too much attention to Air Force airplanes. No, it is a cool picture. Chris, thanks for sending me that. Just had to josh you a little bit. But it's an article up on DiscoveryMagazine.com. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. Hey, that's it. That's it on email comments. That's it on voicemail. And thanks, everybody, for calling in here. And thanks for being part of the family, for being part of the HANA. A little bit of a shorter show, but I'll be honest with you, as I told you earlier, I'm wiped. Day out in the hot Texas sun with humidity that is borderline ridiculous. I know it's. I forget on how hot and humid Texas gets. It's. We'll see how it is in Rochester next week. Who knows what's going to be there. But did have a little bit of a lightning storm here, so I got to watch that. So that was cool. You guys know my fascination with lightning storms since we don't get them in Hawaii very often. But hope everyone's having a great week. Hope you're enjoying your summer. And make sure you tell your friends and neighbors about the show. Tell your friends and neighbors about the sponsors that helps the show. Because the summer months is always the months where we see a little dip. My goal is to keep the show up in the top rankings June, July, and August and keep growing the audience as we have earlier this year. So don't tune out just because it's summer. You know, listen to me when you're mowing the yard. That's a great way to get distracted and run over the wife's rose garden or something. But, hey, feel free to listen to the show when you're out there doing stuff on the roll and enjoying the summer months. But everyone take care. We'll see you on Monday night from the East Coast. So I'm going to be probably coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ustream. We'll see what the bandwidth situation is in Rochester. I'm not thinking it's going to be much better than it is here in Texas at this point, but only time will tell. So we'll see you from New York next week and look forward to the meetup that's going to be happening a week from Friday. And we're going to be meeting Sal and some of the other Ohana that's going to be coming in from Buffalo. So it'll be an exciting week, and I look forward to going out to a new area and exploring around. So that's it. Everyone take care. Have a great week. And until next time, aloha.